Welcome to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter. I'm your host, Ann Harrison, and I thank you for coming along with me to talk about Jesus and the writing life. God has given us each a story to share, and your story matters. Welcome back to Inspirational Journeys, everyone. Today, I have my special guest, Paul Zolman, who is going to tell us about love languages and his tool for teaching children about loving one another. So, first of all, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Anne. Pleasure to be with you today.
And do you mind if I start by opening us up with a word of prayer?
I'm good with that.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together today. Thank you for allowing Paul and I to meet. And Lord, may our words be pleasing to you and bring value to the listeners and the viewers today. All these things I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Paul, first of all, why don't you introduce yourself?
I've been in the accounting and finance world for most of my life. And in that world, I came to that world because I realized that when I was young that I had to obey rules. If I wasn't obeying the rules, I'd be abused, actually hit or spanked very, very extremely. I'm number 10 of 11 children. And so I tried to avoid abuse. And so wanting to obey the rules, wanting to be a good person, I decided accounting is one place that has a lot of rules. And once you learn the rules of accounting, it's easier to do those, do the taxes, do whatever you needed to do to keep a business out of trouble as well. So I was trying to keep out of trouble my whole life. I realized, Anne, that I had a lot of residual anger left over from my childhood of abuse. And I was trying to overcome that residual anger. And so I created a tool that I think really would help others that may have grown up in my type of situation or any type of situation. But not only that, it's a tool that can help children learn responsibility. I kept blaming my father for all my social awkwardness and a lot of other things up until I was about age 35. But this tool I've developed is actually a cube that I created that has the love languages on it. I created my own icons and I created the cube so that I could use it in a classroom. And at the beginning of the day, the teacher would just roll the die or roll a cube. And on the cube, I've got different icons for the love languages. What I'm showing right now has two hands put together, creating a heart. And then it has a conversation flyout. So that would be the words of the heart. Those are the words, kind words that you give to whoever.
Yeah, I didn't tell you this before we started recording, but I'm glad you described that because I am totally blind. And when you said a cube, the first thing that popped into my head was a Rubik's cube.
Well, it's smaller. You know, the first cube that I had was the size of a Rubik's cube. It was like 2.5 inches in a cube, and it was too clunky. And I had to size it down. So now the cube that I have, and is about approximately 1 inch by 1 inch. And so on each side of the cube, there's a symbol, and it's all pictures, absolutely all pictures. So the next side has the arm of a server, and it's holding a platter. That would represent service. So when you roll that on that day, you're looking to wash somebody's car, vacuum the carpet, take the trash out, but it's not an event. It's just something, these type of activities you'd be watching to do all day that day. So these are, as you roll the cube, it really, you just roll it once in the morning. That's what you're practicing, the love language that you're giving away all day that day, all day to everyone. So it just, you're watching for opportunities all day long to help people have a better day by giving them the love language. The next side on the cube has a hand holding a gift that would represent gifts. The next side has two hands touching one another that would represent touch. The next side has a hand holding an hourglass. That would represent time. Five love languages, six sides on the die. On the sixth side, Anne, I've put a hand holding a question mark. That's surprised me, is what I've named that side.
Like a wild card.
Yeah, exactly. Like dealer's choice. I live two hours north of Las Vegas, so a lot of people think that it's great to have dealer's choice. But it's just one of those days that on that particular day, you're watching for opportunities to do random acts of kindness.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I'm curious to know, because you said it's teaching teaching people how to love one another as God loved us. I'm wondering if there were any scriptures that you associated with this, with the pictures on the die.
Great question, Anne. And yes, in fact, when I started learning how to love, when I realized I was from an angry culture and I needed to get out of that culture, but to get out of that culture, I had to learn a new language. I was used to the angry language. I was used to angry vocabulary. I was used to angry humor, put downs and the sarcasm and talking over people when they were talking. All that is part of that angry culture. So I had to relearn all these things. So I started reading books. I started reading The Color Code first, and then settled on the five love languages. And they really, I really liked the principles of the five love languages, because Dr. Gary Chapman was a pastor. And in the first part of the book, he says that each one of these love languages reconcile to the life of Jesus Christ. So for example, Jesus Christ spent time with people. He pulled, like the woman at the well, he spent time with the woman at the well, just talking with her. And it didn't matter who it was, he was spending time with
her. Right.
So the next one, you know, he touched people. He touched people's eyes so they could see. He touched their ears so they could hear. And we know that touch was part of the ministry of Jesus Christ, because why else would he have to say to Mary, touch me not? Apparently she when she recognized him, maybe she was coming in for a hug, or maybe she was just coming to do the high five or the fist bump. Whatever it was, there was must have been part of the life of Jesus Christ, because he had to tell her not to touch her, because he had not ascended to his Father yet. For the words, we absolutely love the words of Jesus Christ. He used words, and those words really help us in our life. Service, he lived a life of service. And he had the gifts of the Spirit. So all five love languages, you go back to the life of Jesus Christ, they all fit into the life of Jesus Christ. And that's according to Dr. Gary Chapman, who was the pastor.
I remember the interview. It's funny you mentioned his name, because I remember the interview with him on the Pastor Writer podcast hosted by Chase Riffle, and talking about the book. And so, have you ever read the book What Happened on Saturday? About the time between Jesus's death and his resurrection?
I have not.
I'm not going to go into all the detail because I don't want to spoil it, but it really gives some insight. And I felt like the Lord was leading me to touch on that. Because they talk about the physical body, the soul body, and the spirit body. So, and the reason he told Mary not to touch him, and I can't say this is true, but it does say in the Bible, he says, tell Mary not to touch him. But maybe because of the fact that he was in that transition from soul to spirit body. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's possible. We could talk all day on it, but
we could.
We still wouldn't know.
No. but it was an interesting concept there.
It is very interesting. So back to the classrooms, Anne. What would in the classroom, what I'm interested in, and I have tested in two schools right now, one's a private school and one's a public school. And in the school, what the teacher does at the beginning of the day, they roll the cube, and comes up with a love language. And the teacher takes 30 to 45 seconds maybe to explain, class, this is the type of behavior we're watching for today. And so at the end of the day, what I have is a journal that has what they rolled, what opportunities they saw to love in that way, what they did about that opportunity. So to the teachers, what I've given them is a PDF of that journal page. So they can print out as many as they need to for their class, you know, for their students in their class. The student then at the end of the day now has to report. What did you do about loving today within the classroom? What kind of opportunities did you see, and what did you do about those opportunities? What this does for the student, and instead of having to wait to be 35 or older like I did, now the student realizes, oh, I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for what I do in a classroom. I'm responsible for how I interact with all the other students. Now they're on their best behavior, because now they know that they have to report at the end of the day. And for that, though, there's a lot of benefits. One of the benefits is that the student writing that journal page, it's a love journal, writing that love journal page at the end of the day, the teacher just checks it off. Tommy did it. But what if Susie has a great story? Maybe that teacher should retain that story of Susie for the next day and read it in front of the class. Make Susie shine and encourage all the other children. This is the type of behavior we're watching for. This is the type of loving we're looking for within the classroom. All absolutely appropriate for physical touch. It'd be the high fives, the fist bumps, creating a fancy handshake that many people have, several step handshake. It could be a lot of those type of things for doing whatever the class decides to roll at the beginning of the day. That student takes that paper home. Astute parents would see that that's a journal page. They'd keep it in chronological order for the whole school year. Now, at the end of that school year, for that first grader or that third grader or that fifth grader, you have a journal, a love journal, what they loved about for first grade or fifth grade or third grade. Whatever it is, now they have a love journal. I would have loved to have a love journal. And when I was in first grade, I remember my first grade teacher's name, and I must have really loved her because I remember her name. All these years after the fact, I still remember her name. I don't remember second grade teacher's name, third, fourth, or fifth. I do remember sixth. There must have been something that impressed me in those early years that I remember their name. But I would have loved to have a journal of all those grades, just so that I could show it to my children, tell stories to my children, and just have that love journal to pass love on to teach the love to my own children.
Now, here's a question about that. You talk about first graders having the journal, maybe even kindergartners. Have you thought about could the kids express their love through their art?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think that especially for those kindergartners, maybe they don't know how to write yet, or maybe they're just not gotten to printing yet. But like I said, there's no words on the cube. It's all pictures. So they can do it and then maybe tell it to somebody or make it an audible version of a journal. That would be amazing. There are ways to capture that on and then keep it an audible journal of that person. I would have loved to know, what did my voice sound like when I was in first grade? And that would have been a fun thing too.
That talking about the audible journal or a maybe a texture, maybe do, I don't know, but I was thinking some way to make it an accessibility thing for, you know, students who have disabilities who definitely need to learn, you know, the different love languages.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole idea of this, Anne, is to not take too much time from the school to do this. And then I'm really trying to focus on maybe a minute at the beginning of the day. At the end of the day, I've talked to teachers and around the world, And 100% of them say that the last 10 to 15 minutes of the day is really non-productive time. The kids are tired, they're antsy, they know the bell's going to ring, they've been there all day long, and their brains are mush because they've been trying to learn so much all day long. This is, journaling is really kind of a decompression type of activity. Anybody that journals, it kind of almost releases something in them that takes that stress away. If you can do that for kids before the bell rings and have them journal what they did during the day, de-stress for the day, they're going to be a whole lot better behaved when they get home. And I think the parents would be on board with that.
Right. So what is, how did you know when God called you to create this tool?
I had this problem, and I would be annoyed at somebody, and I'd stack another annoyance on top of that, another, until I had a flash of anger. I didn't want to have those flashes of anger because that's what I was blaming my father all about. I was blaming him because that was his pattern of getting angry as well. It'd be just one annoyance after another until he'd flash. I'm number 10 of 11 children, and my mother and father had a date every Friday night. When he'd been gone all week because he was a truck driver and gone all week, came home on Fridays, never missed, and dating my mother. I loved that about my father. But I can see, in my mind's eye, I was not ever there, did not ever see it personally. But in my mind's eye, I can see them saying, well, how'd your week go? And my mother starting at the oldest child, and then my father's getting annoyed, all the way down. Now at number 10, the 10 child, that's me, he would be ready to blow. And I would get the belt, or I'd get a very severe spanking. One time I was spanked so hard that I remember being black and blue for more than 3 weeks. So I don't know what I did. I have no idea. Because whatever I did was way earlier in the week, usually. And from the time of the what I did to the time of the punishment, there was that lag in time, a huge lag in time, that you forget, what did I do to deserve this? And it was like that for most of my childhood.
That's sad. So, and you have written a couple of books on this about this, right?
I wrote a book called The Role of Love. The other book is The Journal that we've talked about already.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about your writing process. Did you outline The Role of Love, or did you sit down and start writing the story? How did that work?
That's a very good question. And when I first started, a thought that I needed to write a book, I had a suggestion from a very, very good friend that actually is a ghostwriter. She said that what she does, and there's two different ways to do this. What she does is she'll write one idea on a little sticky note and put it on a wall. And then when she gets another idea, she'll write that on a sticky note and put it on the wall. It may be in the same category of that first sticky note, or it might not, but she'll only develop about 10 columns on the wall. So they have to be organized into about 10 different columns. I did that on a spreadsheet because I'm a financial guy. So the same principle, but I put an idea within a column on a spreadsheet. I had about 10 or 11 columns, 10 or 11 chapters is what that represents. And as I'm writing down these ideas, I'm trying to say, which chapter does it fit into? And it took me about, it didn't take very long, probably about 10 days to get all my ideas out of me and onto the spreadsheet. When I realized that I'm out of ideas, now it's time to start writing. And once I started writing, I wrote each chapter at a time. And once I started writing, though, it only took about 6 weeks to write the book. It took longer to edit the book and a little bit longer to create the cover of the book and to get the ISBN number and then get the copyright. And that took a whole lot longer than writing the book itself.
That's neat. having the spreads, the idea in a spreadsheet with all these columns, instead of just having random notes in a note, in a text file everywhere. I like that. I've never, you know, people talk about outlining and this and that and the other. I have, that's the first time I've ever heard a unique story like that. Writers out there, you listening, you watching, write that down. Try that and see how that works. I think I am going to do that when I get ideas for the next one. I mean, I have a brainstorming journal, but that's a really good, I know you do it for your nonfiction, but I think that would work for fiction too.
It would. And I really, I had that brainstorming journal too, Anne. And from that brainstorming journal, which was just a lot of miscellaneous ideas, that was the organization. Put it in columns, whether it's on sticky notes on the wall or in a spreadsheet like I did. However you do it, make sure that the chapters will come together. You'll be able to see what matches with what, and you'll be able to get all those ideas together that would form a chapter. And it really is a great way to organize the book.
Fictional or nonfiction. That is so unique. And that's a takeaway, folks. That is a tip. Try putting your ideas together. Once you've formulated them, try putting them together in a spreadsheet to see where they fit. That's the tip. So, did you self-publish the book, or did you submit it to a publisher?
I self-published. The reason I self-published, Anne, was because there with the cube, it kind of needs to go with the book, and I wanted to be able to self-publish so that I could have books available that I could have here in my office, as well as all the cubes are in my office, so I could put a package, a bundle of the journal, the book, and the cube together, make that a package deal. Amazon, where I self-published, has a hard time connecting products to publications, just because the publication facilities are in a whole different place than the products are on Amazon. Or I'd have to create a store for just one product, just the cube. And yeah, it really was kind of a hard situation that way. What self-publishing also did for me was that I was able to put the Audible right there on Amazon, and the Audible is available. So you can listen to the book, and you know, for people that just listen to podcasts, or like yourself, that you want to listen to a book, it's available. It's only a 2-hour listen, and it's very easy listen, but it's right available. If you've got Audible on Amazon, I think the book might be free. If you've got the membership on Amazon,
if you get the trial, it's free unless you've got it in the it's not Audible Originals anymore. It's the extra stuff that you get, the two books free a month, or you get like a curated list of books.
Okay, so when you go to Amazon though, you'll want to type in my name, Paul Zolman.
Right.
You don't want to type in Roll of Love, because you're going to get Love This, Love That, Love a Million.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get 50,000 things.
Yeah, you will. And I think it might be a million, but yeah.
Well, that's no joke, folks.
So type in my name. It'll come right up. It's also available on Kindle.
So, and I was thinking about this, you know, you talked about the book, the package, the book and the cube. Have you thought about putting that on Etsy?
I have thought about it from time to time. I'm not a real social media kind of guy. I do have a social media manager that takes care of publications like that, but mostly she focuses on Facebook and Instagram for right now.
I was thinking selling it on Etsy instead of trying to sell two different products on Amazon, maybe put the package together and sell them on Etsy.
That's a great idea.
Creating an Etsy shop.
Yeah. I'll see if my social media manager can handle that for me. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Any takeaways you want people to walk away with from today's meeting or today's Absolutely. Interview?
Absolutely. You know, there's probably one of the best things that I've come across in this journey, Anne, is a word from a different language. It's from the Sanskrit dialect in northern India. And everybody's heard this word, or most people have heard of this word. It's called Namaste. Namaste is
yes.
the word that the yoga teacher will say at the end of class, bow their head and put their hands together, and they'll bow their head, close their eyes, and say namaste. Namaste, the Hindu interpretation of namaste means that the God in me sees the God in you. Or in other words, the divine in me sees the divine in you. And that's really very applicable to what we're doing here. You're always watching for what's right with that person, what's good about that person, what can you love about that person. My former life used to be watching for what's wrong with that person. Why don't they do it this way? And I realized that those decisions are not my decisions. That's not my business. It's their business to make their own choices. When I realized that I need to stay in my lane and look for the good in other people and try to refine the bad that's in me, I realized that there's a lot of good in most people. And most people are 80 to 90% really, really good. And there may be that 10 to 20% that they have faults or they have weaknesses or they're not very good at something. And I was focusing on that and the realization I was focusing on that instead of focusing on what was right. Now that I'm focusing on what's right about that person, I'm focusing on a larger part of that person, a larger part of their life and personality that it keeps me so busy, I forget about being annoyed. So I truly follow namaste, watching for the light or the God in other people.
And if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you don't have time to be annoyed.
That's right.
That is so right. And I remember namaste because I, the American Council of the Blind, we have community meetings, and one of our, there is a certified trainer and aerobics instructor. She teaches yoga on Mondays and Wednesdays. And at the end of the, at the end of the, at the end of the class, she'll say namaste.
Yeah.
So that was a very, that was a, that's a familiar term. And she explained that. Yep. So, where can people find you online if they want to learn more?
They can find me on my website, Anne. Thank you for that question. It's roleoflove.com, R-O-L-E of love.com. And I did kind of a play on words, Anne. You R-O-L-L, the cube outside of you. That's outside of you. But if you want the change within, R-O-L-E is the word, is the correct word to use on that. And that's the whole idea, is that we're trying to change the rage in the world right now, trying to change all the people getting so angry so quickly. Stop it. Just stop that. Focus on what's right about people. Quit focusing on what on the mistakes other people's made. We're all human. We're all imperfect. We're all making mistakes. Focus on what we do that's right. It's like a magnifying glass. A magnifying glass will enlarge things. Just make it bigger so that and if we focus on weaknesses, why would we want to focus on weaknesses and make that larger in another person? Because that's a boomerang coming right back at us, Anne.
Go ahead.
We need to focus on what's right about people and enlarge that, make that big.
And the negativity, if you focus on negativity, it takes away the joy.
Absolutely. It just ruins it. Absolutely ruins it.
Right. So can children read this book, or is this for parents and teachers?
It's a youth could read the book and it'd be very understandable. Children probably not. It's not really a children's book, but they could read it. There's some words in there that probably might need help with from a parent though.
Right, but the concepts they may not understand. Have you thought about? Oh, go ahead.
Absolutely, the concepts they would understand.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about just trying to read it. They may not. They need a assistance. Have you thought about creating a picture book?
You know what? I hadn't thought about it until you just said that, and that's a great idea. That would really, really make it a whole lot more fun for the K through sixth grade as well.
Yeah. Especially like the K through 3. Now, 5th and 6th graders, you may want to, you know, it might be a little
simplistic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it like a chapter book or something like that, but definitely K through 3. And it was like, you know what? Authors help authors, and we inspire each other.
I appreciate that inspiration.
And that was led by the Holy Spirit, honestly. So In light of that, do you have a Bible verse you'd like to share with us today?
Absolutely. I love the Bible verse in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13 that says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we look to God as the God of love, that means that whatever Christ is doing is loving. Whatever God is doing is loving. And if we can try to fit our life into that type of lifestyle, that everything that we do, everything we think about is loving, we're going to be the same today, or yesterday, today, and forever. And that's really one of my favorite scriptures. That consistency is what we're looking for. Just being constant and true to the principles of love.
Right. I love that. So is there anything that God has laid on your heart to for you to share before we close out in prayer?
Absolutely. And there's one more thing that, you know, when you remember the Last Supper, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And I think the biggest check that we can do is the check that the disciples did. Ask the question, when we pray, ask the question, Lord, is it I? In any type of relationship, if we can find out from our Heavenly Father through prayer, is it I? We're going to get a little bit of information on how we can improve our life and also improve the lives of those people around us.
Beautiful. So would you do me the honor in closing us out in prayer?
Sure. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Anne and for her podcast that honors thee. We're grateful for this opportunity to converse and talk about love. We know thou art the God of love and that thou would bless our efforts this day, that we can be loving and kind to all those that we meet and talk to. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So we challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. And authors, don't forget to inspire each other, because you never know where God can lead that. Thanks for joining us on Inspirational Journeys today. And remember, your story matters. Have a blessed day, everyone. So I challenge you today to go out there and read to get inspired, write something inspiring, and share your creation with the world. For when you've touched one life, you've touched thousands. You've been listening to Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter, with your host, Anne Harrison. If you like what you've heard on today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends, and leave a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Visit my website at AnneWritesInspiration.com, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and follow me on Facebook and Pinterest at AnneWritesInspiration and on Twitter at AnneWrites75 for more inspirational content. Thanks for listening, and remember, your story matters.